Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Oh, what a beautiful weekend we're having, going deep into the topic of prayer and to the, let's just call it our new lifestyle of pray, listen, and follow. In the past, we were trying to be educated and learn about the world, learn how to analyze, learn how to compare, learn how to do things based on past learning so we could survive as a person and a body. And then we could, in that modality, hopefully grow old and eventually die. And we think there's more than that modality, you know. Work hard, grow old, get sick, and die. Maybe there's more than that. Maybe there's more. Maybe we had it all wrong. Maybe we were just chasing down, we were in fantasy land and trying to make the best of it in this world, you know, try to be a decent person and then try to make it into old age and then succumb to death like everyone else. Maybe we had it wrong. Maybe there's a higher calling for us than such trivial pursuits. So today, Jesus is giving us a movie that is going to really take us, we're going flying today. I don't know, this movie, Jesus picked out for us today is like, well, I just have to say it's going to blow the lid off of everything. This movie is going after the jugular of the ego. It's going to blow the lid off of the ego completely. I mean, most of us are aware that there is a power in prayer. And most of us know that maybe we're not fully aware of it, but maybe we do have a powerful mind. Maybe prayer is a mechanism that's still very active in our mind that is always available, but sometimes we rely on our past learning more than we rely on prayer. Maybe that's just something we think that religious people do or spiritual people do in their spare time. Maybe we think prayer involves words and petitions, and we're praying to spirit using words. But I was talking a little bit yesterday and sharing that prayer is really the desire of our heart. And if we desire to know God, then our prayer of our heart will activate miracles. And as those miracles are activated, we'll become more willing to let the miracles come through our mind. We'll be more willing to be used as miracle workers. Not that we're doing anything as persons, but we're just allowing the presence of God's love to come through us and heal and bless, instead of just playing small, playing like a small person who's on the timeline, who's going to grow old, hopefully, and get sick and then die. Or maybe some of us have visions of dying quickly. I don't know, whatever. I know Hazel last night was, Casa de Spark was bringing up the whole idea, Casa Divine Spark, about, she was saying, let's talk about sickness and death. How does pray, listen, and follow relate to sickness and death? How does pray, listen, and follow relate to body symptoms? Eileen from the Netherlands brought us into chapter 9 and section 2, and we started to realize that prayers, the Holy Spirit always responds to prayers, but the Holy Spirit will never respond to prayers in a way that would increase fear. Wow. So that's why some of those prayers don't get answered. If we're praying, if the answer would increase our fear, the Holy Spirit will not give something to us that would increase our fear. And that was our little step in to start to look at prayer, the topic of prayer. So we can't really have our faith in the prayer and listen and follow to what we're told unless we really believe in the power of prayer. And the power of prayer is really just returning to us the awareness of the power of our mind. God created us with a very powerful mind. And the ego was a belief, a tiny mad idea that there was no God, that separation from God was possible. And once we seem to believe in the ego's went right to work, and the ego's purpose was to make up a world where you would forget your mind, and you would forget the power of your mind, and you would forget the power of decision, and you would feel like you were mindless. And when you talk to most people, they say, well, I have a body. I have 10 toes. I've got 10 fingers. I've never seen it, but I'm told I have a brain. I'm told I have some gray matter going on inside of this skull. And as far as a mind, well, you know, I don't know too much about that, but we do have psychologists and psychiatrists that study the mind. So if I have any problems with my mind, I'm sure I'll go to an institution, and a mental institution. They'll be able to help me out. But mostly we're concerned with the body. And the body and the world was made by the ego, the whole cosmos of time and space. For one reason, it was to keep you mindless, to forget the mind, to forget the power of thoughts, to forget the power, what happens when we give crazy beliefs to our mind and we believe in them, and then we see a world of madness. But we have to come back and realize the power of the mind. So, that's part of the why we pray, listen, and follow, is because we need to reclaim the power of our mind. To put it bluntly, if we believed in this crazy death wish called ego, we certainly must be able to reverse and unbelieve it. If we believed it, we must be able to unbelieve it. If we think we did it, we separated from God, we must be able to undo it. If Jesus is assuring us that you can't really separate from God, it must be easier to undo the world than it is to believe in it and keep playing the game, you know, keep acting like we don't know what's going on. We should be able to unbelieve it. So every week, this particular movie is part of our online 3-day retreat called Pray, Listen, and Follow. And these are the themes that everyone voted on that really is what we do when we pray for a movie. And so these are combined results from Spanish and Tribe and also the Pray, Listen, and Follow retreat. So here are the themes that we are praying to the Holy Spirit. We are praying to Jesus, use this movie today to bring us into a direct realization of these beautiful themes. And the number one theme by far that was voted on is trust that Jesus will carry me through any situation, no matter what. That received 80 votes. Trust that Jesus will carry me through any situation, no matter what. And this movie is going to show us big time what it means to trust in Jesus and be carried through any situation. We have our main character in the movie is going to be an 11-year-old girl called Sarah. And she is going to face all kinds of situations and scenarios most of us are familiar with on Earth. It's a modern day movie. And when I looked at that first scene, trust that Jesus will carry me through any situation, no matter what, I couldn't help but think of the movie that I've shown called Fatima. Fatima, for those of you who aren't aware, was a phenomenon that occurred in the early 1900s in rural Portugal, where three children, Lucia, Lucinta, and Francesco, basically three children were out walking and praying, very devout prayers, and they were calling. And then as they were praying, they just started calling out Mother Mary's name, the three of them, and echoing, letting their prayers kind of echo through the canyons of Portugal, calling on Mother Mary. And then she appeared to them, all in white. And this was back at the time of World War I, right before the Spanish flu. And she appeared to them, and she would tell them to pray for peace, pray for healing. And Mother Mary appeared to them a number of times. Of the three children, the one that I really was inspired by was a little girl called Lucinta. She saw Mother Mary. She heard what Mother Mary was asking her to do. She really prayed devoutly to follow along what Mother Mary, who had appeared to her, what Mother Mary was asking of her. And then a lot of adults, including her parents, her neighbors, her town, and also the Catholic hierarchy, priests and bishops and so forth, they all tried her to get her to recant and deny what she was experiencing and deny what she saw. And this little Lucinta, she had a faith that was so strong. She was like a little rock. She didn't care who was trying to tell her what she didn't see, what she made up. She had an amazing faith. And as it would happen, when Lucinta died after this Fatima experience, which was kind of a major miracle on a large scale over in Portugal, her little body, Lucinta's body, did not, after she passed away with the Spanish flu as a young girl, her body did not decay like bodies tend to do in this world. Some of you have heard of Paramahansa Yogananda. And when he left his body, that body stayed around. It was still vibrating with the presence of that mind of Paramahansa Yogananda. And little Lucinta, her body did not decay either. And people were amazed. But the world is just a reflection of our mind. And when we talk about pray, listen, and follow, the most important thing is when you are praying, you are really praying to God to increase your faith. You are praying to be used by the Holy Spirit. You are praying for miracles. You are praying, okay, Holy Spirit, Jesus, work miracles through me. I am your instrument, like St. Francis said, make me an instrument of thy peace. I am your instrument. Use me for the greater good. Use me for the blessing of the whole universe. Use me in the greatest way possible to bring healing, to bring peace to all. When you pray to the Holy Spirit and you ask to be used in God's plan, you are really asking God, expand my faith. And today's movie with Trust That Jesus Will Carry Me Through Any Situation, No Matter What, is because the little girl in this movie, Sarah, she has a very deep faith in God. She has a faith in her prayers. When she hears the pastor speaking at church, talking about, well, most people have faith in their jobs or their parents or their family or their local situations. But Jesus was teaching us that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, which is a very tiny seed, if you had the faith size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Imagine you're in church and you hear the sermon, the preacher saying, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And some of you know a mustard seed is extremely small as far as seeds go, but the mustard seed grows into not just a plant, it grows into a tree where the birds can come and rest. It starts off as a tiny, tiny little seed, and it grows into a big, strong tree. What a metaphor! That's why Jesus was using that metaphor in the Bible, because he knows that we need to start off with faith. In this world, we start off with the tiniest seed of faith. And then as we open our hearts up and we open our minds, our faith grows. And when our faith grows, our trust grows, our patience grows. Jesus says in the Manual for Teachers, patience is natural to those who trust. No outcome already seen or yet to come can cause them fear. Imagine if you had such faith and such trust that you could witness anything that this world has to offer. Nuclear explosions, world wars, tsunamis, what seems to be in the world devastation, and you could just calmly watch it as if you were looking on a sunny day and birds tweeting, that no appearance would cause you fear. No appearance would cause you guilt. No appearance would cause you pain. You would just be able to calmly look upon the world and see the false is false. That takes faith. And admittedly, you know, people say, well, I really am trying to develop my connection with Jesus and my strength in that belief. But sometimes people tell me, well, you know, he did live 2,000 years ago. You know, it's not like some people tell me that Jesus is not as relevant now. And I think the things that Jesus was teaching us 2,000 years ago and in the meantime as well, they're so radical. They're so radical that they transcend the laws of this world. It's like if what Jesus is saying is true about the kingdom of heaven, this world must not be real, because this world seems to violate innocence. It seems to violate gentleness. It seems to violate meekness and defenselessness. It seems like the projected world violates love. We have Valentine's Day and we have different days we try to celebrate love, but in general, most people are struggling to survive and facing very intense emotions. Hazel was bringing those up last night, emotions around sickness and death. Robert was bringing it up. You know, Robert experienced 3 years of intense, debilitating pain, and it was a shock. It was a wake-up call. Before then, you know, he was just having a nice Aussie life. And then all of a sudden, 3 years of debilitating pain. And then, wow, that'll get your attention. That'll get your attention. So I have to say today, I mean, we always go on deep dives, but we're going on a real deep dive today. I hope you keep your hands inside the magic carpet today with me, because you don't want to have your fingers chopped off. We're going to go down not only into pray, listen, and follow, but we're going to go down into face our beliefs about death, face our beliefs about sickness, face all of our beliefs about this world through watching a little 11-year-old girl named Sarah start to get activated in her miracle working. And, you know, the Bible says, a little child shall lead them. That's our guide today. We have an 11-year-old girl named Sarah who's taken us on a deep dive into the mind today. She's taken us, like Lucinta did, she's taken us way, way, way down into the mind, because Sarah has faith. And when we witness faith, it gets our attention. When we see faith in action, that is striking. Jesus's life on earth was striking, absolutely striking. That's why 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. And then it's kind of interesting that the fog of the mesmerism of darkness and sleep with this realm is so thick that it only took Jesus 2,000 years to get A Course in Miracles onto this realm. Just a mere 2,000 years to bring A Course in Miracles into this realm. However, we can say we have an amazing tool of clarity. And this tool is helping us expand our awareness of what he was speaking about 2,000 years ago. He's actively calling us to be miracle workers. He's actively, right now, calling us to be teachers of God. And he's saying, please hear my call. No matter what you seem to do, no matter how you spent your life, we talked with Trent last night, 30 years of the grind. But beautiful children came out of it and everything. Now he's ready to kick into gear, kick into some action here with his divine calling. Yes. And all of us are. That's why we're here. We're here watching this movie today, is because we're ready to be activated by Jesus. We really want to kick into gear. We don't want to be idle. We don't want to have our devotion just idling, and we don't want to be wandering in the darkness like we're lost. We want to be activated. The second theme is the choice to be happy lies within me. I don't need to look to the world to find my happiness. I don't need to look to attainment and achievement in the world, education in the world. I don't need to look to the future to try to find happiness. I can find it now through my prayer and through my faith. accept that I am completely loved. Wow. That's it. That really is it. Tammy was talking about the feelings of unworthiness. Wow, that would be the solution right there, that one. Accept that I am completely loved. Wow, that would really transcend the unworthiness. That would be Jesus saying, be of good cheer, for Satan is underfoot. Underfoot. Unworthiness is underfoot. It will not hold me back. It will not limit me. I am worthy of love. I must accept that I am completely loved. All things work together for good with no exceptions. What a beautiful state of mind. Just imagine yourself being able to look along at all appearances, no matter what the appearances are, and just have this soft, gentle reminder in your heart, all things work together for good, and there are no exceptions. And the last one with 43 votes, Spirit, let me be your mouth, your hands, and your feet. Just use me, Spirit. I now know that that's my purpose in life, is just to be used by Spirit. It doesn't matter what I seem to do or didn't do. The past is a wash. Listen, we're not going to bring the past back. There's no point in lamenting the past. It's gone. It's long gone. And now, Spirit, let me be your mouth, your hands, your feet, that I may know the joy of God, that I may know the joy of happiness, of Spirit. That's what I want. That's what I'm praying for. So before I talk about the movie we're going to watch, which is... This is a miracle movie. This is an amazing miracle movie. But before I start the movie, I think Jesus has been placing on my heart today. He said, I want you to share a few ideas that will help prepare everyone for this movie. Because what this movie is going to attempt to do is to expand the faith, to grow the faith very strong today. We're going to plant that mustard seed, and we're going to let that big, strong tree begin to grow. We're going to let it grow in us. And in order to do that, you have to be willing to lay aside your past learning, because everything that time and space and the ego has taught the mind, the sleeping mind, is a block to awareness of God. There's nothing that any of us learned from time and space that will be helpful to expand our faith. In fact, if we can come to a sense of disbelief, if we can say, just maybe I was wrong about some of these extremely difficult experiences that I seem to have on this planet. Maybe I was wrong about my relationships. Maybe I was wrong about the purpose for this world. Maybe I was wrong about what I believed I deserved or what I believed I was worthy of. Maybe I was wrong. So Jesus wants to give us a little bit of warm-up. So today, imagine you're going to a concert hall and you're going to hear the most exquisite concert that you've ever heard in your life. But before the lights dim and you hear that exquisite concert, which is the movie, here's the warm-up band. These are warm-up thoughts from Jesus. This is the warm-up band. Here's what Jesus has to say to prepare us for this beautiful experience today. Here's what he says. You can do anything I ask. Yes. I have asked you to perform miracles and have made it clear that miracles are natural, corrective, healing, and universal. There is nothing they cannot do, but they cannot be performed in the spirit of doubt or fear. That's important. because our prayers are so powerful. There is nothing these miracles cannot do, but they cannot be performed in the spirit of doubt or fear. Watch little Sarah, 11 years old. What a faithful, spunky little 11-year-old girl. Sarah is our example. She's our role model today. We're going to be riding on the coattails of Sarah for the entire movie. Miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle, capable of creating in the likeness of your creator. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal. Prayer is the medium of miracles. It is a means of communication of the created with the creator. Through prayer, love is received, and through miracles, love is expressed. Miracles bear witness to truth. They are convincing because they arise from conviction. You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others if, in a situation calling for help, you think of it in this way: I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me, and I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. Healing is freedom, for it demonstrates that dreams will not prevail against the truth. Healing is shared, and by this attribute, it proves that laws unlike the ones which hold that sickness is inevitable are more potent than their sickly opposites. Healing is strength, for by its gentle hand is weakness overcome, and minds that were walled off within a body free to join with other minds to be forever strong. Healing, forgiveness, and the glad exchange of all the world of sorrow for a world where sadness cannot enter. One, the means by which the Holy Spirit urges you to follow him. They are the means. His gentle lessons teach how easily salvation can be yours. And lastly, miracles are part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness, which, when completed, is the atonement. So, we're going to watch a movie today where this 11-year-old girl, Sarah, is going at the beginning of the movie. She's at church with her parents, with her family, her congregation, and the minister is going to talk about the faith. And if you had faith, the faith of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, you could literally move mountains. Now, I know for a lot of people that sounds like, well, that's something in the Bible. That's pretty radical, saying if you have the faith just of the size of a grain, a seed of mustard seed, you could move mountains. Most of our past learning experiences of mountains is that they're very big and they're very strong and they last a long time. I mean, even during the time of the dinosaurs didn't disrupt the mountains. There's been earth changes, there's been floods, there's been probably things from space that hit the planet. There's been all kinds of things, but those mountains seem pretty stable in terms of linear time. And now Jesus is telling us, if we had the faith of the size of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. And that seems to be quite extraordinary. It's just telling us, wow, whatever this faith is, it must be extremely powerful. I remember I was reading, I think it was Absence from Felicity. It was Ken Wapnick's book on the story of A Course in Miracles and how it came, and Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford and so forth. And there was one point where Helen Schuckman just asked Jesus, she said, I don't understand astrology, Jesus. Would you help inform me about astrology? Specifically, she said, I don't understand, what do the lives of men and women have to do with the movements of the planets and the spheres? An interesting question for Jesus. And Jesus said, well, your mind is moving all those bodies of all those human beings around. And behind that, it's moving all the planets and spheres around too. That's what the correlation is. Your mind is moving everything. I about fell off of my bed. I thought, oh my God, is the mind that powerful that it's moving all the humans around and all the planets and spheres? That must be a very powerful mind, albeit the ego using that powerful mind in terms of form. So this is what Jesus is saying, that when you believe that sickness is of the body, you don't really have an awareness that whenever you have a symptom that's part of that body, a symptom of illness, that you have selected that with your mind. It's not the product of the world. You have selected that symptom regardless of what it is. People may say, well, what if it's genetic? No, Jesus says it's never genetic. You selected it with your mind. Doesn't it involve the DNA? No, it's been selected by your mind. Wait a minute, what about like the love canal and radiation? People that were exposed to high levels of radiation, you know, like over in at meltdowns, the love canal in the United States, or over in Russia, where there's been nuclear reactors melting down, or in Japan, and people that are exposed to radiation, No, those symptoms on those bodies were not from the radiation. Those were selected by your mind. Everything, every symptom, without exception, is selected by the mind. And I might add, the wrong mind. Who in their right mind would choose to be sick? Who in their right mind would choose to select a symptom and put it on a body? Only these are just wrong-minded decisions. And then when we get to lesson 136 in A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that sickness is a decision. That's not something we were raised with, you know. That's not something our mom and dad, oh, mom, I'm too sick. I've got fever. I can't go to school today because I feel I've got a fever. I'm sick. And then mom says, like Mary Baker Eddy, choose again, get your clothes on, choose again, and meet me at the car. You're going to school. Imagine, well, that would be interesting if we had parents like Mary Baker Eddy. we wouldn't be wasting our time on time and space, blaming everything else except our mind. We would start to be pretty curious about our mind if our mother told us, choose again. Decide otherwise. I can't go to school. I'm sick. I have a fever. Decide otherwise. Meet me in the car in 5 minutes. Now, what we're going to start to see today through the movie and through the Q&A after the movie is what I'm doing with you today is I'm taking our theme, pray, listen, and follow, and we're going to apply it to everything. A lot of times people say, well, I'm starting to get open to the idea that my emotions are the result of my mind and my decision. But now you're telling me that sickness is the result of my mind and my decisions, and even death is the result of my mind and decisions. And I'm saying exactly that Jesus says in A Course in Miracles, swear not to die, you holy Son of God. You make a bargain that you cannot keep. You know, that's pretty strong. That's pretty radical. You know, swear not to die, you holy Son of God. So we're going on a deep dive today. We're going way down the rabbit hole with this 11-year-old girl. She's taking us on a deep dive down the rabbit hole. Because once you get into the topic of prayer, then you say, wow, this is really helpful. Once you start to see the power of the mind, then you start to go, this is extremely helpful. Because you start to get a little glimpse that you're never the victim of circumstances. You're never the victim of the body. The body cannot tell you how to feel. You tell the body how to feel. Basically, the ego does. And when you train your mind with Jesus, he tells us in the workbook, he says, healing will flash across your open mind, and you can tell you've practiced well by this, the body should not feel at all. When you start to have glimpses where you start to see the neutrality of the body, and you're not assigning positive attributes to the body or negative attributes to the body, you're not going to assign pleasure to the body, and you're not going to assign pain to the body. Imagine doing that with foods. Oh, no more giving assignments that certain foods are pleasureful and certain foods are disgusting. We've been mesmerized into believing that the world is outside of us, outside of our mind, and it tells us how we should be. I see you there, Hazel. You stirred up a can of worms asking about sickness and death. Oh, yeah. Jesus is like, oh, I'll give Hazel what she wants. She's got a prayer. Jesus is like, I'm going to give you a full helping today, Hazel. You brought it up, and Jesus is like, good. Thank you, Hazel. Let's do this for the whole universe. Let's do this for the whole universe. Let's demystify sickness. Let's demystify death. Why should we think that a perfect child of God, a creation of God, would have to succumb to sickness and death? Why not raise the dead? Why not heal the sick? Jesus is telling us to do that in the opening principles of miracles. He's coming right out. He's not holding back with us. He's not saying, oh, I'm going to give you, just take you in the kiddie pool. He's taking us in the deep end. With the Course in Miracles, he's taking us off the diving board in the deep end of the pool. So here's what we've got. The name of the movie today is called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. Well, for a bunch of aspiring miracle workers, that's a pretty good movie. The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. The 11-year-old girl, Sarah, who believes in miracles. And basically, Sarah has a mom and dad. It's Sarah Hopkins is her name. She's got a mother, Bonnie. She's got a father, Alex. She's got a grandpa named Sam. She has a brother named Danny Hopkins, and his brother has a girlfriend. They live in a little town where there's a clinic. And then there's a doctor that runs the clinic, and oh, wow, Sarah's taken us on a miracle ride. This little girl of faith is going to start to get activated with prayer because of something she heard the preacher say in church. It's one thing to hear the preacher say it in church. It's another thing to put it in practice. It's another thing to believe it. When you hear the words of Jesus, if you had the faith the size of the grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains. It's one thing to hear it at church. It's another thing to believe it. But miracles are like a chain of forgiveness. So when you start believing in miracles, they ripple out. They are out of pattern experiences. And every time I've had so many miracle experiences in my life, when I'm going through the miracle, my eyes are wide open. I'm wide open, like I'm in astonishment. When I seem to have a symptom in my body and I pray to Jesus and it leaves immediately, I mean, instantaneously, I'm in astonishment. I'm in wonder when this happens. I'm in glory to God that you are real. Glory to God for healing. And that's just the beginning, because as we learned, and Aline brought us that question, that symptom removal is really not healing. Letting go of your self-concept is healing. Letting go of your pride, letting go of your belief in this world, that's healing. Letting go of self-righteousness, letting go of thinking you're important as a person or unimportant as a person, either one. You letting go of the belief in the personal perspective, the self-concept, the self-image that the ego made, that is what healing is about. It's not symptom removal, but if you have faith, Jesus says, that will radiate to everything, including the body. If you're not too afraid of letting go of the world, then it will radiate to everything and everyone that you perceive. And I just got all fired up with Jesus today. So I said, what are we going to do for the Q&A? And Jesus said, well, why don't you really have some fun with the Q&A today? And why don't you go through during the Q&A after the movie, number 5 in the manual for teachers? Oh my, really? This one, how is healing accomplished? Asking Jesus a direct question. Oh, Hazel, watch out. You brought up the sickness and death, and now Jesus wants us to read together, how is healing accomplished? Uh-oh, what is he going to tell us? He's actually going to tell us how healing is accomplished? Are we ready for this? Are we ready? Can we handle this? You know, he's got a deep dive today. Keep your hands on the blanket, on the carpet ride today. Do not go straying off today. We're going down the rabbit hole. So sit back, hold on to your hat today, because basically we are going on a ride with this little girl. And we're going to start to see that when you have faith like this little girl has, then it's going to stir the pot. Imagine being the girl's parents. It's going to stir their pot. Grandpa's pot's going to be stirred. The doctor in the town, he's going to have his pot stirred. Everyone will have their pot stirred by this faith. And it's good that she's showing us this, because we need to be ready for this. If we start to follow Jesus, we're going to stir the world up a little bit, because the world was made to keep you from knowing who you are. The world was made to keep you mindless. And Jesus is saying, your divine mind is actually very powerful and you have dominion over the world. The world doesn't have dominion over you. And yet most of us have lived our lives as if the world had dominion over us. Oh, I don't like this politician. Oh, I don't like school, or I don't like what my parents told me I had to do. I don't like my boss. My boss is giving me an ulcer. No, your boss is not giving you an ulcer. Your mind has selected that symptom. And the boss didn't do anything. And the parents didn't do anything. And the politicians didn't do anything. And the nuclear meltdowns of radiation reactors, uranium reactors, they didn't do anything. The tsunamis didn't do anything. The tornadoes didn't do anything. The floods didn't do anything. Where Jesus is going to say, you made this world up because you believed in the ego, and now it's time to unmake it and forgive it. Who's in with me? Who wants to go on this ride? You know, we're going deep today, so hold on to your hat. Kenneth has got his yellow hat on. Hold on to that hat. That hat could get blown today. Okay, sit back, enjoy the movie, and I will pop on from time to time. But are you ready for a miracle? Ready for my love? Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. How beautiful. This little girl is learning to pray, and her grandpa's encouraging her. You want Danny's team to win? Well, you know, maybe if you ask God for some help, it might help a little bit. But then grandpa delivers a lesson, you know, God does work in mysterious ways, and we don't really know the best outcome. You know, maybe there's another reason. There is another reason. Let's all be honest here. The reason is forgiveness. Everything that we experience is working together for good. We may have judged things as gone right or gone wrong, but it's all working for our good, because it's all working for us to learn to forgive the world. Why would we want to forgive the world? Well, for starters, God didn't create it. If we want to know God, we should come in alignment with God's love, with God's care, with God's guidance. But don't you love how even at a soccer game, when the little girl Sarah is bringing up, you know, I hope my team, we have to win. And he's saying, you can ask God for help, but then he's also giving the lesson, you can't really interpret the outcomes of form in terms of what that help is. And she was like saying, but didn't God want our team to win? No, God is not a win and lose God. God is not rooting for some team to win the Super Bowl and some team to lose the Super Bowl. Because God is a God of oneness and God of pure love. God doesn't know of competition. God doesn't believe in competition. In heaven, there are no beliefs. So there is no belief in competition. And there are no winners and losers in heaven, because all is one. Heaven is just pure, infinite spirit, eternal, changeless. It's just what is. Byron Katie says, love what is. Well, what is spirit, is God, is heaven, is Christ. It's this state of mind. It's, you could call it nirvana. You could call it whatever you want. It's just this changeless state of unconditional love. And Jesus tells us in the Song of Prayer that in heaven, the Song of Prayer is like a song of gratitude that God sings to Christ and Christ sings to God. It's like a symphony of gratitude that goes on and on and on and on forever and forever and forever and forever. Wow, that sounds pretty good to me. But you see this little girl, 11 years old, and already she's going to church, and now her grandpa's encouraging her to ask God for help. Isn't that lovely to have a grandpa that encourages you at 11 years old to ask God for help? I really feel that this is for all of us. You know, we've been trained and conditioned to look to people for help. We've been trained and conditioned to rely on all types of things, money, education, we've put our faith into a lot of things in this world, but I really like it that she's has the faith to pray and to see the power of prayer and to have a grandpa who's encouraging her to ask God for help. That's no small thing, because that's setting in motion this pray, listen, follow. We have to really realize that the ways that we have tried to handle this world, education, skills, jobs, money, and all types of manipulative games, this is no way to handle the world. It's better to come back to your mind and say, wow, Lord, I need faith. I need to develop my faith and trust, and I actually need to learn about miracles. If my one function on earth is really to extend miracles, then it's time that I get busy really focusing my mind on learning what that is. And more than learning it, that to practice it. I mean, most of us were not raised thinking of ourselves as miracle workers. At the beginning, when I got A Course in Miracles, I actually was thinking, I was looking left and right. Like, I was reading the book and I was going, really? Me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? And I think for most of us, if we're honest, you know, when you first pick up the book, you're like, uh-oh, I think I've got some kind of an assignment here. Like Trent was saying, I think I have a purpose. Even if I resist it, some of us are pretty aware that we've got a calling or a purpose. We're not just here by accident. And we're not just here to kill time. You know, a lot of us, what are you going to do today? Oh, I'm going to take a walk. I want to take a long walk. I just want to kill some time. Jesus is like, no, please don't kill time. let me use time to awaken you from this dream of separation and sickness and death. That's what I want to do.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hofmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhofmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.